Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Margaret Tabak. Margaret Tabak, who is running for Albany County Family Court Judge. So, you know, good morning, Margaret. How are you doing?
Well, good morning, Cynthia. I'm doing well, and I really appreciate your taking the time to talk to me.
You know, there's city court judges and there's county court judges, and it's hard to distinguish between who's running and where. Have you encountered any confusion as to what position you're running for?
Oh, absolutely. I think people are very confused. You know, they're getting mailers, they're seeing signs, and frankly, the court system itself is very complicated. So especially if you're not familiar with it, you would not necessarily understand all of the different positions that are open and, you know, who's running for what. So, yes, absolutely. A lot of confusion out there. But, you know, a lot of interested voters, and I really take heart with that.
So as you go door-to-door, which I'm sure you're doing, how's the response been?
For the most part, I think people have been very engaged, have been very polite, have been very interested. When we were doing the petitioning, it was a little bit different, but the weather that started the end of February through March, it was very cold. You know, obviously people don't want to be standing on their doorstep, you know, when it's snowing. But, you know, now that we started the campaigning and it's nicer out, people tend to step outside and come and speak with you for a few minutes. And, you know, that's been really great. I've met so many interesting people.
You know, the change in the petitioning process, I think, is very interesting, because before this year, the petitioning process was in the sweltering heat of July, and that can become very uncomfortable. But, you know, now that it's in the primary is in June, you have so many more months to run for the line that you want. So I personally think it's a good thing. So what made you decide to run for family court judge?
Well, it's something that I've been thinking of for many years. I've been practicing in this field for over 30 years. Many people along the way have nudged me and have felt that I would be a good fit to be family court judge. And it just seemed like the right time for me to take this step, both personally and professionally. And I'm really excited about it. I've done a lot of great work in my career. I've represented thousands of people. And this just gives me an opportunity to help more people and to continue to do great work, but in a different manner.
So if you have, you know, thought considerably over the years about running, what issues are important when running for Albany County Family Court Judge?
Well, the issues that I'm most concerned about, and, you know, as you know, as a judicial candidate, we can't discuss issues per se, but sort of issues in the bigger picture, is obviously having a court that is fair, that's efficient, and that's staffed by knowledgeable people. And having been in court so many times, I think I could come in and sort of hit all of those marks. One of the problems in family court, you may know, is that there's often a tremendous wait. There's a huge caseload, and sometimes people are waiting for several hours. So I'd like to design at least my court and the way that I run it in a way that's most efficient and to try to avoid as much of that as possible. I think the wait is a deterrent to some people to actually come to court and get the help they may need.
So if you can't actually articulate issues, when you go door to door or you make up campaign literature, what do you put on your literature, or what do you tell people?
Well, you can talk about yourself, and you can talk about any recommendations or endorsements that you have. So if you look at most of the judicial literature, that's what's contained in it. So we can't put anything down that's not factually correct, right, that's maybe subjective. So I couldn't say, you know, I'm the most beautiful candidate, because that would be subjective, not objective. But I can say I've represented thousands of people, because that is an objectively correct statement. We also can't talk about our opponents other than, you know, who they are or what they do. But I can't say, you know, Susie's great or Joe's a bum.
So on primary day, when people go into, you know, the ballot box to vote, do you think basically it's a, and I don't know if this is the right phrase, do you think this is a beauty contest?
I certainly hope not. I hope that the voters take the time to look at our literature. You know, everybody has a website, everybody has a Facebook page, and we try to fill that with as much information as possible, so that, frankly, with a couple of clicks, you could go online and learn anything about me, my history, what I've done. The Facebook page is very kept up to date, so you could see what I'm working on while I'm campaigning. So I do think there's an opportunity to learn a lot about the candidates in a relatively quick manner. You know, our literature obviously is, you know, finite space. Signs don't tell you more than what somebody's name is. But, you know, there are great opportunities. We've had several forums. One I think is going to be on Spectrum Access. We have one tonight at the NAACP. And, of course, when you go door to door, you get to engage with voters.
What made you decide to run for office?
Again, it's something that I've been thinking of for many years. I want to be a judge, and the only way to become a judge in New York is to run for office. So it was sort of a necessary evil, but it's actually been a much, much better experience than I had ever imagined. I've met a lot of people. I've had tremendous support. So it's really been a great experience. I appreciate what people go through to run for office. I've helped people run for office, but it's a lot different being the candidate and how appreciative you are of everything people do for you, whether it's walking with you, handing out literature, helping you, you know, with your communications, or people donating money. You know, that has just been a great experience with how much people have done for me, putting up signs, you know, you name it. So much boots on the ground work. When we did petitioning, and that started the end of February and went through the beginning of April, so the weather was terrible, I had about 150 people walk petitions for me. About half were people I did not know. And that was overwhelming to me, that people would go out in the cold and the snow, et cetera, to support somebody they didn't know but whose message they wanted to carry.
Now, how many signatures did you need to get? I'm sorry. How many signatures did you need to get on the ballot?
Well, with the changes they made for 2019, I needed 1,500 signatures.
What was it before?
2,000, and it will go back to that. It's based upon a formula based upon the size of the county. So a county the size of Albany requires 2,000 signatures. When they reformed the election laws this year and they moved the primary from September to June, because that happened sort of so quickly and so unexpectedly for local candidates, the legislature passed sort of a one-time kind of a 25% off discount. So in the future, it will go back to the
$2,000 for a judgeship. When people are focusing on maybe a mayor's race or a supervisor's race, and I think that's a pretty steep hill to climb. What do you think?
Oh, it's definitely a steep hill. And I don't think the number actually hit me until we started doing the petitioning. And I said to myself, oh, 1500, you know, how much is that? And then I got my first two signatures, and I said, oh, all I need is 1,498. And then I realized how many signatures that actually was. So it is a steep climb, and it shows why you need so much support to get people out there to carry your petitions and to get signatures for you.
Given the fact that, you know, a judgeship, like I said before, is kind of like not on everybody's mind immediately. It's kind of like on the back burner. So for a candidate to get people to go out and vote, I mean, to go out and get signatures, what do you tell them?
What do you tell them? Well, I had a lot of volunteers who were people who were, you know, friends or colleagues of mine and who knew me and who supported my wanting to become a judge. So that was sort of a little bit easier lift. Other people, as I met them and as I received certain recommendations, I have the recommendation from the Law and Executive Committee of the Albany County Democratic Party, or I'm one of the candidates that has that. As you know, there are two open positions. I received the endorsement from the Working Families Party, and again, there's another candidate who received that also. So as you receive sort of the nods from the parties, that obviously makes people who are involved in those parties get to know you as a candidate and therefore get the opportunity to assist your candidacy.
Great. So you've been doing
and also
door
you have to be. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and you, the candidate in my mind, you need to be the leader of the pack. So I've been running a law firm for 25 plus years. I'm used to being a captain of the ship. And there's nothing that I would have anybody in my office do that I wouldn't do. And it's been the same way since the campaign. So I was out there in the cold and the rain and the snow and the dark, et cetera, getting signatures because I certainly couldn't ask somebody else to do that for me if I wasn't willing to do it.
What do you think the turnout will be?
That's a good question. You know, there's a lot of, you know, pondering about that. Generally, races that bring out a lot of people would be sort of what they call top of the ticket, county executive, sheriff, which are both unopposed this year. We do have the county controller's race, so, you know, that will, you know, be interesting, hopefully, to many people. There's many county legislative primaries also. So it's really going to be how engaged people are with those races. I've seen a lot of people are not aware that the primary has been moved up. So that's something that I hope in the next, you know, week, people will sort of focus on more, you know, we'll see advertisements, et cetera. There was an article this week in the newspaper about the primary being next Tuesday. So I think the more people know about it, obviously they'll be engaged with it. And I hope people take the judicial races, you know, with as much, you know, import or impact as they have. You know, family court is an extremely important court. It affects everyone, even if it's not you. It's somebody you know, friend, relative, you know, guy who works at the corner store. And I certainly hope that people realize this and come out to support the candidate they feel will do the best job as a family court judge.
If you do, if you won and become Albany County Family Court Judge, when you're on the bench, what responsibilities will you have?
Well, your responsibilities are manifold. I mean, obviously, first and foremost is as a judge in that courtroom that you're assigned a variety of cases and many cases. So hearing those cases and adjudicating them at, you know, fairly, efficiently, based on the law. So that's, I think, first and foremost is your job as a judge. And then there's your job, you know, running your kind of business of your courtroom, you know, overseeing your staff, making sure that they're doing everything that they need to do, making sure you're getting out your decisions and, you know, any other thing that your, say, law clerk is helping you with. Again, as quickly as possible, fairly taking into account the law. And then there's other responsibilities that you can take on. There's many committees and associations so that you can continue, you know, work on issues that you may want to support in terms of sentencing, in terms of facilities, in terms of providing services to litigants. So that's another piece of it also.
So I'm sure you've heard, you've represented many people as a lawyer. And when you represent people, wow. And when you represent people and they go before the judge and the judge, you know, determines that person's fate, as you were representing people, did you say to yourself, this system is not right, I'd like to change it, you know? Did you see some flaws in the system when you were, or as, I'm sorry, did you see flaws in the system when, as you practice law?
Absolutely. I mean, there's flaws. I mean, there's many gifted, smart, able, fair judges. But there are certainly flaws in the system. I mean, people come in with their own sort of prejudices and biases, and they really have no place in the courtroom. I mean, every person who comes in, you should be operating from sort of a blank slate and just dealing with that person or that family based upon the merits of, you know, that person's case or that family's case. So that's something that's really important to me, is that everybody starts out fresh. One of the things that I've always emphasized as an attorney is that I don't practice cookie cutter law. So what works for, you know, one family doesn't necessarily work for the other. And I would bring that same philosophy to the bench, that every family and every individual is unique. I would say, obviously, that, you know, some judges know the law, both the substantive law and the rules of evidence, better than other judges. So again, having been in the trenches for so many years, that's a skill that I bring, is that I have knowledge of the substantive law and I have knowledge of the rules of evidence because I've tried many cases. So those are things that I've seen some judges are not as strong as others, and that I would bring a lot of strength in those fields with me to the bench.
So in the final moments, Margaret, give yourself a pitch. Why should people vote for you?
Well, people should vote for me because I've been a practicing attorney for 30-plus years. I have practiced in family courts throughout upstate New York. I have represented thousands of people, men, women, children, because I'm also on the Attorney for the Child panel. I have represented a broad swath of people, so race, religion, gender identification, socioeconomic status. There's probably very few groups that have not cast through my door in all of these years. So I bring all that experience. I've been very committed to the community. I've won several awards for my pro bono service, as well as for representing victims of domestic violence. I bring all of that with me. As I mentioned, I am the only judicial candidate who is recommended by both the law and executive committees of the Albany County Democratic Committee, and who's endorsed by the Working Families Party, and who is endorsed by Capital Women. So those were three competitive interview processes, and you know, I received the nod from each of them. So that shows that people who really have taken a lot of time to read my application to interview me saw me as, you know, a very good candidate.
So if somebody wants to get involved in your campaign, whether they be a volunteer, make a contribution, monetary contribution, how can they do so?
They could go to our website, which is Time for Tabak, so TimeForTabak.com. It has information about me, about volunteering, about donating. Anybody who has any time, we would certainly appreciate anything they can do. We're asking people to make phone calls, to send emails, to get the word out that if they support me, that they share that with their friends. And again, when you ask me for the pitch, that's the message we're sending, is my experience, my years in the trenches, the fact that I am, very active in the community, and I am a fair and reasonable and person, and those are all traits that I'll bring with me to the bench. I'm an extremely hardworking person. I do not come from a family of means or power. I am a first-generation American on one side. My dad was born here, but English was not his first language. I am a first-generation college graduate. Both of my grandmothers were functionally illiterate, and I'm here running for judge. So it shows that in a very short time, my family's been able to achieve basically the American dream, but I understand the travails that families go through, working class families, immigrant families, to get to the place that I am now. And that's something that I take with me to work every day, and that's something I would take with me to the bench.
Thank you, Margaret. Good luck on primary day.
June 25th, polls are open noon to 9.
Right. So you've been listening to Margaret Tabak, who is running for Albany County Family Court Judge. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Margaret, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany. And thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time. Thank you. Take care.